All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. All right, I'm going to start reading in verse 4 and read down to verse 9, and I'll tell you the little phrase I'm going to preach on when I get to it, all right? So let's begin reading in verse 4 so we get the context here. And in verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." All right, now that's that little word that was very popular in Old English. We just put an S on the end of it today. But back in the 1600s, 1500s, and 1600s, the word "always" had its own meaning. All right, "always" and "always" were two different words, and "always" means just what it says. All the way. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord all the way. Well, it's hard to do, isn't it? But nonetheless, that's the admonition. Paul said, "And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue," and there is, all right, let me just say that, "if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," and there is, all right, let's all read the next four words, "think on these things." Think on these things. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Right, now go back to that little phrase at the end of verse 8. "Think on these things." That's the title of my message tonight. Let's pray, and then the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now so much for the music we have heard tonight. Thank you for the testimonies that we have heard and for the fellowship we've enjoyed. And Father, I pray now that you'll bless as we open your eternal word. I pray that you'll help me as I speak tonight. I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen tonight. And Father, may we just get something from your word this evening that will help us and challenge us in our Christian walk. And I pray that you'll help us to understand the importance of our thought life. And so give, I pray, your richest blessings upon the message. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you this evening on that little phrase that is at the end of verse 8. Think on these things. How important is our thought life? Don't forget, the Bible tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we ought to think right. If we're going to act right, we have to think right. If we're going to speak right, we have to think right. You know, if we're going to serve the Lord, then we have to think, get our thought life in tune with the things of the Lord, and then just serve Him. Now, there are people, and we all know this is true, there are people that sit around all day and just think about how angry they are towards someone else. Well, if you sit around and think about your anger, about 100% chance you're going to be an angry person. All right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, if you, you're soon going to find yourself in a situation where you are nothing but just an angry person. And that's a terrible way to live your life. I've known Christians who have gotten bitter towards someone, and that bitterness just gnawed and gnawed at them, at their very soul, until it made them a very, very bitter individual. You know, there are two unseen worlds that we contend with. Two unseen worlds. There is the unseen world that is just beyond the veil that is covering our eyes. God has put a veil over our eyes so that we cannot see that unseen world that's going on around us. It is filled with angels. It is filled with demons. It is filled with the powers of darkness and all the rulers of darkness and all the rest of that. All right? That's a world that we cannot see. And I honestly believe that if there were some way to remove that veil that would enable us to see what's going on, we would never go another day without reading our Bible. All right? We would not stay home on Sunday night when we ought to be in God's house on Sunday night getting some ammunition so we can fight the battle. All right? But if we knew what was going on. And so that's one of those unseen worlds. And then there's another that I'm going to get to in just a moment. But let me lead up to that by having you think about this very important little truth here. We live in a day of great discoveries and are now able to see things and to look upon things today that once were completely invisible to us. Now think about that. We have what we call telescopes today, and we also have what we call microscopes today. And we are able today to see things that we have never before been able to see. Thanks to the telescopes that we have now orbiting around our planet, we can see stars and galaxies and planets that are eons of years away, and we can see them with such clarity that it simply astonishes the mind. I don't know if you've ever gone on NASA's... Got it. That spider has been crawling up here for weeks. And he must like me, because every time I get up here, he starts making his way down. And I reached for him last week and didn't get him, but I got him tonight. I hope you don't have any little ones running around there with you anywhere. But anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, here's where I was. I said that one night in a meeting with Hamlin, and I said, where was I? And Hamlin said, and in closing, I kicked him in the shins. Oh, isn't that hilarious? Oh, he's nuts. He's nuts. I mean, who would have thought of that, you know? John Hamlin would have thought of that. The microscope. You can take the microscope and you can look into the smallest of things. Your eye cannot see it without the microscope. We can take an X-ray today, and we can see a broken bone and fix it just as good as new. We can get an MRI or a CT scan, and we can see disease and tumors and torn muscles and torn ligaments and all sorts of other things that can go wrong in the human body. But there is another world that nobody has figured out yet. There's a whole other world that nobody has figured out how to gauge what's going on and what is taking place. And that whole other world is the world of thought and of feeling, of passion and of desire. You see, nobody can look on that from the outside and figure out what's going on in there. God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. But God looks on the heart. There's one who knows what the heart is thinking. But that's the only one. You see, Paul said, he said there is a realm, there is a world that still baffles even the most brilliant of minds. And here is the second unseen world. There is an unseen world that is above our heads, but there is a second unseen world in what goes through the mind of a human being. The unseen realm of thought, of imaginations, of passions, of desires. There is nothing quite as mysterious as and strange in this life as that. It has baffled mankind since mankind has tried to figure it out. So let's focus our thoughts this evening on the world within, our thoughts. Paul said, think on these things. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, just a couple of three things I want to have you look at this this matter of the thought life through the lens of three different little points I'm going to give you. Number one, think of the vital need all of us have in governing our thoughts. Man, it's so needful. So needful. We must realize that we are responsible for governing our own thoughts. One cannot depend on someone else to govern and protect his or her thoughts. I mean, you got to take care of that yourself. Some things are personal responsibility, and that is personal responsibility. But we all know just how difficult that is, don't we? As a matter of fact, I think if we would be honest with ourselves, to govern our thoughts is one of the most difficult things that most people contend with in this life. I mean, I've been in the ministry now for a long time, and I've had so many people that have wanted to speak to me through the years, and they'll say, can we talk in private? Sure. So we sit down in my office and begin to talk, and they will look me square in the eye and say, Pastor, I need to learn how to deal with my thought life. My thought life. They understand what their thought life is doing to them. And they want some kind of a Bible answer. And I always turn to this passage of Scripture in answering that question. Yes, it's very difficult to regulate our thought life. It's difficult to regulate our actions, but we do regulate our actions, don't we? We do, because there is such a thing as the law. And there is such a thing as social pressure. All right. And those things kind of put their mark on us. And we feel that, boy, I better watch myself here, or I could step over a line somewhere and be arrested. I was at a stoplight. I was at a stoplight. Where was that? I think it was. It might have been down in Baltimore. I was down in Baltimore to go to the hospital. This was several months ago, and it was Johns Hopkins, because I remember pulling out now on that road that takes you over to 83. And so I was going out through there. Well, I came over one of those little hills, one of the first ones, and there was a police car. And then another police car pulled up, and they stopped everybody. You couldn't go through. There was an accident there. And this woman got out of her car, and she was furious. I guess she was blaming the other car for tearing up her car. She went nuts. I mean, she lost it. That's the only way I know to describe it. And she was in that policeman's face, just giving him this. And then she turned around, she'd go over and get in the guy that was driving the other car, and she was putting her finger in his face. He's backing up. She is walking backwards with him, letting him have it. You say, how you know? I rolled the window down. I wanted to hear it. Don't laugh. You would have too. I was the first car. And so she's going at it. Well, she turned around and she started ranting and raving again. And that policeman said, ma'am, calm down. And she said, I don't have to calm down. He said, I'm telling you, calm down. Well, she then went into a tirade and she walked over and she swung at him. Now, when she did that, he grabbed her by the arm around the back. Other arm around the back, she's screaming bloody murder, and he puts the zip tie on her and just puts her back in the seat, in the front seat of her car. Well, she tried to get up, and he pointed at her. Sit. You know what she did? She sat. Yeah. He was a big dude. I would have sat, too, if he'd have told me to sit. If he'd have told me to roll my window up, I'd have rolled my window up. You know, it's difficult sometimes to contain yourself and to behave yourself, control yourself. And I don't know, but it seems like in this post-COVID world that we live in, people get out of control so often and so easily. Strange how that happens, isn't it? But you've seen it. I've seen it. And that's the world that we live in today. I mean, but there's social pressure. And when you feel yourself getting to the edge, then it's time to back off. And most folks with common sense know that, understand that, and they do it. But you know, I can't sit here or stand here. I'm standing right now. I can't stand here and look into your mind and know what you're thinking. Now, God knows that, but I don't know that. Now, we get paranoid, don't we? Oh, I know what she's thinking about me. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you're just trying to start a problem is what you're trying to do. You see, nobody knows. I mean, every time we act and every time we speak, we come into direct contact with society. And most of us, though, have the wisdom and the driving sense of self-worth and the fear of losing our friends or losing our reputation. And those things cause us to back off a little bit and to do right and to act right as well as speak right. You with me? You understanding what I'm saying? But folks, think of this now. Think of this. Thought is free. It's free. Or at least we think it is. Right? I mean, thought is transacted in a world where nobody can see it. Nobody can see it. So they cannot judge it. If you can't see it, you can't judge it. You see, there is not a law that can reach us because or for unclean imaginations or bad thoughts. We can think anything we want about someone, and that someone can never sue us for libel. Now, you say something, and you might get sued for libel. But you can think all you want, and you won't get sued. Reason is because nobody can see your thoughts. It is that, perhaps above all other things, which makes governing our thoughts so difficult. It is the secrecy. It is the absence of restraint and the feeling of freedom that we can experience in our own thoughts that make it so difficult for a person to govern their own thought life. We had a little girl in our community when I was growing up in Brookhaven, down in Cross Lanes where we lived when I was in elementary school. And there were about 200 houses in that subdivision, huge subdivision. And it was built down in the valley first, and then they took it up both sides of the mountain that was between the valley. And they put houses all the way up and all the way up here and then all the way on top, houses everywhere. And so we had to have our own school bus come pick us up to take us to elementary school. That's how many children lived in that community. And there was this one little girl in our community. I mean, everybody knew everybody. And there was one little girl in the community, and this little girl never spoke to anyone. Never. She never said a word to another person that any of us heard. And that little girl lived in a world of her own imagination. She had imaginary friends. She had imaginary problems. She had imaginary conversations with her imaginary friends. And when it came time for her to go from the third grade into the fourth grade, we noticed when school started the next year, she was not on the bus. Somebody asked, "I wonder if she's missed the bus this morning." I mean, we were all talking about where she was. Well, come to find out, they put her in a special education program so that they could teach her how to talk. And she got some help there. And we were all glad she did. She's a good kid, just didn't talk. Didn't talk to anyone. And folks, there is nothing any more vital than mastering and governing your own thought life. Nothing. I mean, it is just so vital that we understand how important it is to control our thoughts. Second thing, and I'm leading to something, so just I'll get you there. And when I get you there, I'll let you know. All right. Number two. Much of our happiness depends on thought. It really does. I mean, the truth is, much of our happiness, our general well-being and happiness, depends on thought. When we are young, we think happiness depends on outward things. But then the older we get, we soon realize that external things are not what makes us happy. I've heard people say, oh, if I only had money, I could be happy. No, you wouldn't. Money is not what makes a person happy. You finally, your children grow up and you put them through school and then they go off to college and it's just you and your wife and now you're not having all the extra food to buy and all the insurance to pay and all the rest of that. And you finally get ahead a little bit. And then you realize, wow, you know, we're doing pretty good, but you're still not happy. So money is not what makes a person happy, is it? Shakespeare said, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And that's really not, I mean, I've been thinking about that phrase all week. For the message, and I think that's only half of the truth. You say, what do you mean? Well, there are things that in and of themselves are forever good. They're always good. Doesn't matter. They're just always good. And there are other things that eternally and always and forever are bad, and they will always be bad. And so no amount of thought or juggling thought can possibly change what they are. But for sure, how we handle life is completely based upon our thought life. Let me tell you something, Christian. Our happiness, listen to this, our happiness does not depend upon what we view. It does depend upon our point of view. You see the difference? You got to be out in front of your thought life. That's my point. You got to be out in front of it. You got to prepare yourself. I'm going to have the right kind of a thought life. And so much of our happiness depends upon our thought life. You know, an integral part of happiness is found in the discipline and the government of our thoughts. Basically, it's not things themselves. It is our thoughts about them that constitute the gentle art of being happy in life. Oh, we all see folks whose face does not reveal to the world around them that they're very happy. You know, you've seen that, haven't you? You've seen that. We've all seen that. We've all seen that. But if you're saved, man, you should be happy. And your face ought to show it. You know, you got a lot to be happy about. And thank the Lord for all the promises in the Bible. And if we grasp those promises, then happiness just simply is going to be in our thought life. We're just going to be happy people. Oh, we need to work on it, though. I mean, I've known folks that just weren't happy. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Are you going to heaven when you die? Yeah. And why are you such a grouch? You know, that's what I feel like saying. I've never got the nerve to say that, but I've wanted to. You know? All right, so let me suggest that you, as Paul said, think on these things. All right, then lastly, I want you to consider how the scriptures help us govern our thoughts. Oh, make no mistake about it, Christian. The scriptures are so vital and so important for anyone to get control of over their thought life. a Christian above all other people has something that is available to them that nobody else has. The unsaved world does not have. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have something that the rest of the world knows absolutely nothing about. You say, well, what's that, Pastor? This book right here. This book right here. You see, you have a Bible, the living word of the living God. I know a lot of folks think the mastery of their thoughts is impossible, but listen, it is never viewed as impossible in the scriptures. Much of the Psalms is about what we think, how to think. Much of the Psalms and many of the principles laid down by the Apostle Paul have to do with the way we see things, the way we think. But listen, the secret of that Bible that you hold in your lap right now, the secret of that Bible lies in three great words. You say, what are they, Pastor? Number one, here's number one, light. Light. You see, this book right here is a flashlight for you. It's light. I mean, think first of light as a power for mastering your thoughts. Oh, how much we need the light to shine itself on every issue. You know, folks, if you let the Bible be the final authority in your life, then everything is going to make sense to you. I've had people say, well, you know, I've read the Bible and I just don't understand how evolution fits in the Bible. It doesn't. I mean, you don't fit things to go in the Bible. You read the Bible and you believe the Bible. Evolution's not going to fit in your Bible. You say, well, why not? Because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We did not evolve from one-celled amoebas somewhere. I have relatives that hung by the neck, but I don't have any that hung by their tail. That's right. Think about that. That'll hit you tomorrow about noon. Folks, we need the light of this book to shine on every issue that we have to face. And it'll give brilliance and glory. It will brighten the picture for you. It'll help you understand what's going on. David said in the Psalms, I have more understanding than all of my teachers. Why? Because of the Word. He said, I love thy word. And folks, we need the light if we're going to see clearly. We need the light if we're going to think clearly. What do the religions of the world have to offer when it gets dark and dreary? Well, they don't have anything. Certainly not light, because they turned on the Bible a long time ago. The light of God's eternal word will certainly shine upon our lives and help us if we have the right thoughts toward all of life's difficulties and struggles. Secondly, the second word, and I think this is another secret of the Bible, of the Bible's power, and that is the word love. Love. Is it not one mark of love that our thoughts always follow in love's shadow? Huh? It is, isn't it? I mean, you know, a love that, never thinks about the loved one would be the most heartless and hopeless of relationships, don't you think? Sure it would. A man who is deeply in love with the woman that God has given to him, and he, if he's in love with her, he thinks about her. He thinks about her through the day. There is no such sign, there's no sign of love's decay as dying and as dying out, so to speak. No, it stays strong. Why? Thoughts. Jesus told his disciples, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Our love for the Lord, for his word, for heaven, for his church, for his person is the master passion that keeps our thought life in order. If the love of our wife can purge and control our thoughts, gentlemen, how much more the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last word is this. I think it unleashes the secret power of the Bible and helps our thought life, and that is simply the word life. You know, this book gives life. It's what it says. That's what it says. This book right here will give life. It'll give life to relationships. It'll give life to a church. You take one of these dry as cracker juice denominational churches today that hadn't had the Bible preached in it for 60, 70, 80 years now, and you get a fireball preacher come in there and open the Bible and preach a message, I'll guarantee you folks will sit there and listen intently. Intently. Why? Because this book gives life. That's why. This book gives life. Folks, our thoughts are definitely affected by the largeness of our lives, by the abundance with which we live our lives. When life is poor and our lives are fragile and feeble, then our thoughts are not growing. They're not expanding. We're not, as the Lord Jesus said, living abundantly. And that's what God wants us to do, live abundant lives. Not for us, but for Him. And in this day in which we find ourselves, I think it would do us all a world of good to expand our little COVID boxes that we have crawled into and just get a new breath on life. Well, I can't come to church. Why? Well, I might get COVID. Well, you might not, too. You might get it sitting on your couch. Oh, by the way, I saw you at Weiss the other day. You might get it at Weiss. Oh, I saw you at Walmart the other day, too. You might get it at Walmart. I hope I'm standing close when some folks start explaining at the judgment seat of Christ why they couldn't come to church. Lord, I couldn't come to church. No, nobody's got your arm behind your back. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'll just let that sink in. Paul says, if there be any virtue, well, there is. And if there be any praise, well, there is, then think on these things. We know there is virtue, and we know there is praise, and we know that God deserves all that praise. And a way to have God's virtue and a way to sing God's praises is by governing our thoughts. So, folks, let's think on these things. Bow your heads with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, you know our needs tonight, and I pray you'll speak to our hearts. And I pray you'll help us to control our thoughts. Give us a desire to want to control our thought life. And Father, we govern so many other areas of our life. We get up at a certain time. We go to bed at a certain time. We do this at a certain time. We do that at a certain time. We sit down to eat at certain times. Father, help us to realize we need to govern our thought life just as much. And help us to think on these things. I pray the Word of God will make a difference in our hearts here this evening. And give us the right, the ability, the power to think on these things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.